Fuzzy TV.
Morton Sender here. Not only the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, but your spiritual DJ, taking your requests and elaborating scripturally and sensibly upon whatever topics you desire to hear. I'm also your faithful friend when perilous periods are present. Happy to be with you today. As always, I was asked to explain the phrases put on and take up as pertaining to the armor of God. Of course, I made an inflammatory, incredible statement that this armor of God is not ours, because it's the armor of God, and that we come under the influence of it. And my elaboration upon these two phrases, put on and take up, and their corresponding Greek words and the English elements, are going to shed some great nuance, some wonderful detail to establish you in this truth. Now, you know, I'm not really one for Christian music, as many of you know, but back in the 90s and the early 2000s, when I sponsored a conference in Willard, Ohio, we had a whole bunch of elderly folks, and they liked their hymns. And so one of the elderly folks would like to get up and lead hymns. It was all a cappella. Not only that, but we sang without music. And at first I thought, I don't want to hear these hymns. Let's just get to the teaching. But let me tell you, there's some really great hymns. And I would rather hear these old hymns than the so-called lively Christian music of today. But there was this one hymn that came to mind as I was telling you about Stephen Janowski's statement in his text to me that I'm losing touch. I'm at a strange phase in my spiritual development where I'm losing touch with this body of sin. And I thought, after I closed yesterday's show, I thought of this hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. It's a great lyric in here. I'm not going to sing it. Don't worry. I did sing, though. Yes, I did sing back at the Willard, Ohio conference, but I was, you know, mingled in with the crowd. I would never go up there and do it on my own. Here's how this goes. I would often get tears in my eyes listening to these songs. Amazing Grace, you know, I mean, who does not like Amazing Grace? But this song goes this way. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his glorious face, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Wow, what a phrase that is. The things of the world will grow strangely dim. And I know that is happening for all of us. I hear this from you. I feel the same way. The things of this world are growing dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. I have less interest in the world. The world does not excite me in the way it used to. It's just the voices, the chatter are getting less and less. And this happens as we look full into the wonderful face of Christ. And that's exactly what Stephen was telling us, that he was losing touch with this body of sin. How is that possible, Stephen? Because his affections have been set for a long time now upon Christ, looking full on his wonderful face. And anybody who tells you that we are to become more involved with the things of this earth, that is the result of some self-righteousness program. It is not the result of looking full upon the face of Christ. And we have scriptural verification for this, of course, in Colossians chapter 3. Set your affection on things above, not that upon the earth. For you died, and your life is hid together with Christ in God. That's where we're going. That's where our affections are set. And as we do that, it is inevitable, if that is a legitimate occupation, a legitimate desire to think on better things than the things on this earth, including our bodies, then the world just goes boop, 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 down, down. Now, it gets harder to live in. That's the downside of this. It gets harder to live in a world that you don't care about as much, because things keep coming at you, coming at you, coming at you. But you're on the right track if the things of the world including your own body, are growing strangely dim. So back to Ephesians 6 and the armor of God. The big clue here, of course, is this is the armor of God. But Paul gives us an interesting verb. He says, put on the armor of God. This is where you get, as I showed you last week, those images of Christians all armored up, suited up with armor they could probably barely walk in. That's what Saul wanted David to do. Remember, Saul wanted David to put on all this armor to defend against Goliath. And David says, I'm not used to this stuff. It's too heavy. It's too cumbersome. Just give me a slingshot. I'm going to go up against this smelly heathen, and I'm going to take him down. Travel light, travel light. Well, we can put on this armor of God and still travel light. And I'm going to show you how to do it here. The Greek word for put on, there's one Greek word behind this phrase put on in the Concordant version, and that is enduno. And the English elements are inslip. En is in, and duno is slip. To inslip. We inslip the armor of God. The armor of God already exists. The gospel of peace, the cuirass of righteousness, the truth, faithfulness, all these things exist on God's end. And we just inslip, that is, we come under the influence. You're going to see that with this second word for taking up. We come under the influence of these things. So, enduno, inslip. Another important element of this verb, this is a verb, is there's a little circle. See, this is one of the benefits you get in the Concordant version. You have these little superscript markings which tell you important information about the parts of speech. The Greek verb has three voices, the active, the passive, and the middle. Put on is in the middle voice. It's a very, very subtle thought here. And how do you know it's in the middle voice, Martin? Well, in the Concordant version, there's a little circle with a dot above the word put, and that means it's in the middle voice. Now, I need a volunteer from the audience, preferably a lady. If a lady could stand up here, a lady with a red umbrella. I need a lady from the audience with a red umbrella in order to demonstrate for you the middle voice of this Greek word enduno, inslip. Okay, I don't have any ready volunteers, so I'm going to draft Cherie Morris. Cherie Morris of Maine. Come on up here, Cherie. So here she comes. I want you to picture Cherie up here. She's got her red umbrella. It's necessary to have a red umbrella or you just can't properly cause anyone to understand this verb, put on, or certainly not the middle voice. Cherie, you look great, but I think a red dress, would you all agree? A red dress would be just the perfect accoutrement to go along with the red umbrella. No, we'll wait while you change. Okay, so while Cherie is changing, oh, she's back already. That was terrific, Cherie. Okay, now, Cherie, what I want you to do is just, I want you to stand over there with the umbrella over your head. You represent the armor of God. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, if this verb were in the active voice, this is how it would look. I would reach out and take the umbrella from Cherie. Cherie, let go. Let go of the umbrella. Thank you. I would take it from her and put it over my own head. Now this is my armor. This is the Christian viewpoint of how the armor of God is. But this is not the active voice. That would be the active voice. This is not the active voice. Okay, Cherie, take that umbrella back, please. Okay, thank you. Now, if it was the passive voice, this is the other extreme, I would not do anything. I would just stand here and then Cherie, just keep this, move toward me, stand next to me. Perfect. And then you hold the umbrella over my head. I'm doing nothing. I'm just standing there, and she comes over here and does everything for me. But that's not... I like that perfume you're wearing. What is that? Oh, Chanel number 7. I didn't know they made that. Okay, Cherie, now go back to your post. Thank you very much. You did a great job there. What this is, the middle voice. Watch the subtleness of this. In the middle voice, it says, in slip, I move over to Cherie, and I come up under the influence of this umbrella, this protection that already exists. And in this case, she doesn't move. I'm the one that moves, but I don't take it and put it over my own head. That's the active voice. I don't just stand here and do nothing while she walks over and puts the umbrella over my head. I am participating. But the participation is to go back to the actual verse here, is to come to a realization of it. That we're going to get this when we look at the word taking up. I come under the influence by realizing that it exists. Same thing with salvation. How many times have I told you that salvation exists and we just need to come to realize it? Justification exists. The whole human race is justified. This is for all, but it's only on all who are what? Believing. Believing. So it's believing that this armor of God exists. Believing that Paul is telling us the truth. That there is a cuirass of righteousness. There is the large shield of faith. There is the evangel of peace, and there is the declaration of God, which is the word of God. All these things exist, and we come under their influence. Sheree, that was terrific. Thank you very much. You can go back to Maine now, but that was great. You went to a lot of trouble for us, and everyone appreciates that. Now, that was put on, in slip. I just like that word. I like those English elements. You slip into it by coming to a realization of the truth. It reminds me of 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. God wills all humanity to be saved and to come into a realization of the truth. What truth? The truth that God is the Savior of all humanity. God wills all humanity to be saved. 1 Timothy 2, 4. He is the Savior of all humanity. 1 Timothy 4, 10. And God wills all humanity to come into a realization of that truth. So, of course, your realization of the truth of salvation doesn't make your salvation real. It was there the whole time. You just had no awareness of it, no perception of it. But when you do that, that's when aeonian life kicks in. Now, there's no Greek word for kicks in, but that's when it, I guess I can do no better than to quote Romans 3. On all. It comes on you. It's for all this great righteousness of God. It's for all, but it's only on all those who are believing it. And we believe it early because God has given us the faith. So, for the rest, brethren, mine, be invigorated in the Lord. This is verse 10 of Ephesians 6, in case I haven't mentioned the address. Be invigorated in the Lord, in the might of his strength. Put on the armor of God. And you just got beautiful insight into the scriptures that is available in the Concordant Version because we're aware of the voice of this verb, the middle voice. You come under the influence by realizing it, by believing it. Put on the armor of God to enable you to stand up to the stratagems. Again, these are tricks of the adversary. For it is not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh, but with the sovereignties, with the authorities, with the world mights of this darkness, with the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials. Therefore, take up the panoply of God, or the armor of God. Take up the panoply of God. This is a different verb. Before we had put on, this is take up. Put on was anduno. Take up is the Greek word analambano. Funny thing, I went to high school with Anna Lombano. Yeah, in fact, there she is. This is a class of 1978, Central Catholic High School, Canton, Ohio. That's her. The bottom left, this is the cheerleading squad. That's Anna Lombano. The Greek element, or I should say the English elements here are up get. And believe me, every guy in my class wanted to up get Anna Lombano. That's her sister, Tina Lombano, standing behind her. Well, Tina was not quite as attractive as Anna, but Tina would get more dates because I think the guys were just intimidated by Anna Lombano. They were just intimidated, as is the case in high school. There's a lot of nerds in high school and a lot of beautiful girls. I noticed that. Yes, I was kind of one of the nerds, yes. Well, I didn't come into my own until years later, but yeah, I kind of caught up, I guess you could say. Okay, back to this serious scriptural study here, please. Analambano, the Greek word. It is translated in the Concordant Version, take up. but the English elements and the Greek are up get. I want to look at two passages in the scripture that will bring to you the sense of this word. The first one I want to go to is Acts chapter 7, verse 43. This is Stephen's inspired speech right before he got stoned. Congratulations on your wonderful speech. For your reward, we're going to throw large rocks at you until you die. But don't worry, you're going to see a vision of Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God, and you won't even feel the rocks. You won't even feel the rocks. And I don't believe he did. We'll be able to ask him. But I don't believe he did. Let's start with verse 41 to get the context. And they make a calf in those days, and they led up the sacrifice to the idol and made merry with the works of their hands. This is while Moses was up there getting beat up by the thunder and the lightning, and people of Israel were down partying with the golden calf, making merry with the works of their hands. Now God turns and gives them up to be offering divine service to the host of heaven, that is, to other gods, according as it is written in the scroll of the prophets, quote, "Do you not offer me slain victims and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, house of Israel? And you took up," here's the same word, analambano, same word, "and you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the constellation of your god Raphan, the models which you make to worship them, and I shall be exiling you beyond Babylon." If you're going to be exiled somewhere, it's bad enough to be exiled to Babylon, but to be exiled beyond Babylon, it's not good. "You took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and you took up the constellation of your god Raphan." How did they take up? How do you take up a constellation? Constellation, of course, is a group of stars in the heavens. They took up with this false god, and they took up with this constellation. They came under the influence of it. They took up, and I think this is a fair way to say it, they took up with it. They took up with. If you take up with a certain organization, you become a part of that organization. You take up the study of agronomy. You take it up. They took up this constellation. So, of course, obviously, they're not hauling this constellation on their back. They're not taking up Moloch, the tabernacle of Moloch, which rumor has it weighed 465 metric tons. No. They didn't take it up in a physical sense. They took it up in the sense that they came under the influence of it. And that is exactly what we're seeing here in Ephesians 6 with the armor of God. Ephesians 6:13, "Therefore, take up the panoply of God." Paul is telling us to put it on in verse 11 and take it up in verse 13. And when we insert the English elements here, it's pretty cool. You inslip and then you upget. You slip under the influence of it and then you stand up under it. To stand. Stand then. After you take up the panoply of God, you upget it. You stand in it. Stand then, girded about your loins with truth and the cuirass of righteousness put on. Put on, that's the same verb and duno that we encountered in verse 11. It's a constant recognition of it. Stand up. See, it's not like you're this passive wash rag. It's just still all God's activity, but you're standing up. You're taking a stand underneath a truth. This has to do with the mind. Thus, the people of Israel taking up with their god Raphan, with the god Moloch. This was a thing of their mental disposition. They were involved with it. Their affections leaned toward it constantly. So our affections are to be leaning constantly toward this truth that these vital elements are ours. And even if we don't realize them, we're under the influence of them. They exist. But how can you appreciate the fact that you're righteous unless you inslip? Come up under the influence of the truth that God has declared you righteous, and then upget, that is, stand up under it. Make your stand under it. Like, I believe this. That's the sense here. I believe this. This is true. And nobody's going to talk me out of it. Same with every other truth. Nobody's going to talk me out of this. That's a beautiful thing. So let's start with verse 13 and roll through. "Therefore, take up the panoply, the armor of God. Concordance says panoply. It just means every implement. I think that those are the actual English elements. Take up the panoply of God that you may be enabled to withstand in the wicked day, and having, and that this is the wicked day, and having effected all to stand. Stand then, girded about your loins with truth, with the cuirass of righteousness put on, to come under the influence of, in slip, put it on, come under the influence of, and your feet sandaled with the readiness of the evangel of peace, with all taking up. Here's that word, take up again. So we have two instances of anduno and two instances of anna lambano. What we would have given for two instances of anna lambano. But anyway, both these verbs appear twice. With all taking up the large shield of faith, up getting. Stand up under it. Take your stand. Because these things, Paul is telling us, these things are true. I got one more. Okay. I told you I had two references. I almost forgot the second one. 3 John, verse 8. There's only one chapter in 3 John. It's in verse 8. John is writing to a beloved friend, Gaius. He says, beloved, in verse 5, beloved, you are doing a faithful thing. Whatsoever you should work for the brethren, and this for strangers who testified to your love in the sight of the ecclesia, to whom you will be doing ideally by sending them forward worthily of God, for they come out for the sake of the name, getting nothing from those of the nations. We then ought to be taking up such. This is John representing the ecclesia of Jerusalem, and he's talking about worthy people who are assisting the saints. And John says, we need to take up these people. Take them up. What? Put them on your back, carrying them around? No. To patronize them, we need to take these people up in our care, in our prayers, in our considerations. So, it's more like taking up a project. Only it's not a project here, it's a person. But it's the same sense that you stand with it. You up get it. You support it. You love it. You patronize it. And that is exactly the way we are to be thinking about this great armor of God. So to sum up, this is not our armor. It's always God's armor. And it exists. We don't have to drum up any righteousness. We don't have to drum up any peace. We can't drum up any faith. These things are all of God. They're already established by Him in the person of Jesus Christ. So no reinventing the wheel here. Nobody reinventing faith. Nobody reinventing a new evangel of peace, a different evangel of peace, or reinventing some other form of righteousness. God's the gold standard of all of these things. And so when we take up that armor, we come under the influence of it. We come to a realization and a recognition of the truth, and the light bulb comes on. This is all about a mental apprehension. And then once we apprehend it, we stand up under it, and we stay standing, and we don't let anybody talk us out of these great implements, figuratively implements. But these things are stronger than any physical implement. These truths change your life when you realize they are operating on your behalf. I'll just say one more thing. Anna Lombano ended up, many years later, gaining 300 pounds. Very sad. Yes, she has a wonderful husband. Finally had the bravery to ask her out. She's still beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Her sister, Tina. It's a sad tale I don't want to get into right now. But thank you for your kind attention. And again, I'm your spiritual DJ, as well as many other things. If there's anything you would like me to discuss, I'd be happy to do it. Somebody wants me to talk about Rodney Beaulieu, who claims that Paul is writing only to Israelites. It's absurd, but I think I'm going to have to make a show on it. If you want to get a preview, I made a comment on MCTV 1522. If you want to get a sneak preview into that. Tomorrow, I got plans for you that will bless you and keep you. In the meantime, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.